start by telling us a little bit about what the actual software is and what does it do?
Okay, well, the software is called SPAC IPP. It's part of a bigger software that is a multi-tenant application that solves different quality issues. One of those issues is related to audits. So you sometimes have to audit different suppliers. So what you do is you create a survey, you go to the suppliers, you audit them, and then you put that information in actually this software. The software what it does is process that information and assigns a quality index to that supplier. So it will tell you it's from 0 to 100, this is the amount of, this is the performance of this supplier according to the audit. So we had this application that was developed 10 years ago and was evolving through time. And originally it was a multi-tier application with a BB6 and MTS and using the COM+ background. After that, we decided to move it to .NET and create a multi-tenant application, multilingual. So it was the IPP, you create a survey in different languages and you, after that, you create an audit and you go to the supplier, you audit them and you put the information back into the software. So this is actually the basically what IPP does, the
SPAC
IPP. Very cool.
So like you said, multi-tenant application, it's distributed globally in multiple different countries. And
exactly, yes. We have a customer, our customers, they usually have one big global tenant and have different tenants that are each factory. So each factory is actually a tenant of the multi-tenant application. And it will have their own audits, their own surveys, and it's independent, location independent. So, and you can have each tenant speaking a different language because each tenant has its own language that where you can put the audit there and then incorporate it from the suppliers.
Yeah. Very interesting. So, and then you had mentioned that this was an existing application.
Mm-hmm.
So you took an existing application and you then moved that to using Azure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How was that as an experience? Was it difficult to do? Was it?
Well, the thing is that when we started re-architecting the solution back in 2002, there was the concept of SaaS, software as a service. So the idea of multi-tenancy was from the start of the architecting, the new architecting of the application. So from the beginning, all the tables will have a tenant ID. So it was very easy, that model, to move it to the cloud. Also, using SaaS, we have a fat client. So it's a line of business application. It's not an application that was easy to have it as a web application because of the requirements of graphics, vector graphics that we were using. So we have a WinForm WPF application, fat client, but we separated very clear what goes in the application server and what goes in the client. And we made a very, very kind of efficient way of transferring information using Fowler's patterns and using Lotka CSLA as the basis of our architecture of the application. So what you have is the fat client that communicates through business objects to data-centric objects in the application server, which communicates to the database and to the file server. This model was very easy to transfer to Azure, because you have the multi-tenants that the application server takes care of.
Right.
You have a fat client. At the beginning was tough because the idea was to how to deploy these fat clients to all the users. Until the evolving of blob storage allow us to put click once there. So you have easy deployment and click once is the same in-premise and in Azure. So actually for deployment was easy. Click once, in-premise, and on Azure. For the application server, the web role is typically our application server, so it was also very easy to transfer. The file server also is blob storage. In our customers that they use it in-premise, they have a file, the storage to put the files.
Right.
Now you have blobs to put the files. It's exactly the same. The only thing is the application server, where the web role are processing the information, it checks, I'm in Azure, okay, let's go to the blob storage. I'm not in Azure, I go to a storage area.
Wonderful.
The same thing of SQL Azure, Before, at the beginning, we had only table storage in Azure, and it was very hard because we have a lot of structured data,
right.
And it was a nightmare to move everything to table until we had SQL Azure. And now it's totally the same. So you get the connection string from a web config, and then you connect to the SQL Azure. So actually, it was very easy to transfer from this application, so customers don't know where are they running the application.
Right.
It was just a transparent moving.
And in the process of learning mm-hmm. Azure and doing your training and stuff like that, did you find that you were already a .NET developer, you already knew .NET and stuff like that, did you find the learning curve to move from your usual on-premise type of development or just, non-Azure development, mm-hmm. and then starting to work with Azure, did you find that as a difficult learning curve from a developer perspective?
From a developer perspective, the learning curve is kind of easy. The challenging was to make it work in a seamless way for the emulator, to put all the different pieces of Azure together.
Right.
That was the more complicated stuff, to have the good SDK installed in the machine with the computer emulator working well and moving that stuff to Azure. I think the more kind of, it's not the language experience of the developer experience, it's more the meta stuff, the stuff that goes on top to make Azure work, that is a steeping curve, because sometimes changing in the SDK change what you do. Yeah, so that was a especially when we started when Azure was kind of young, so there was a lot of changes. So one thing that we learned is to be very careful about SDK upgrades. Because it's not that you can just put the new SDK and everything will work smoothly.
Yep.
You have to do a lot of regression testing. So that was one of the learnings that we had. But from the point of view of a developer, there was nothing, there's no much to learn. Just that there's something that runs in Azure and you can ask, I'm in Azure or not. And then it was, so because we had already the architecture that was
right.
Totally compliant with the Azure schema. So then it was very kind of easy for us. One of the challenges we had from a architectural point of view was the config files. Because in Azure, when you put stuff there, the web config is kind of locked and it gets deployed to the roles. So then, and we had all of the information about the tenants in the web config. Because you have, when the application server starts, it gets the information of, okay, which are the tenants that I support.
Right.
And you can have a web farm and you can have different application servers taking care of different tenants if you want. So then the problem was, when I deploy this to Azure, I have, for instance, 3 or 4 machines running this. If I had to add a new tenant, how do I do it? I had to redeploy everything. So what we did is, okay, that was one of the biggest changes. We took out the information from the web config and put it into a blob. So what we have is that the application server, when it starts, it gets from the blob the all this configuration. So then what we do is, suppose we have to add a new tenant.
Yep.
We add it there in the blob, and we have in the service definition of the application, of the Azure application, we have a config a variable that says version of config, number one. We change it to 2, and we just upload the service configuration file. And that will trigger an event called role environment changed, mm-hmm. I think, on the VMs, so they know that something changed in the config file.
And then they go and get the
new one. So that's a different from the in-premise, that you have the web config, and on Azure, we had to go around that way to make it work. So we don't have to redeploy the application right. when you change the configuration.
So that's actually something similar to, or a great segue into a question that I have in general, which is, when you were looking at taking your on-premises application and you were thinking of moving it to the cloud, what was some of the rationale that you went through to kind of decide, yeah, you know what, going to Azure is what makes sense for this application.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we had business reasons and technical reasons. On the business side, one is that we are not a kind of a company that will be proud of having a lot of servers and a lot of infrastructure to take care of, a lot of databases. So when we had to provide off-site services to our customers, it was not a good idea to grow the company on things that we are not experts on.
Right.
We want to be known as a reputable source of information about quality and good tools to solve quality problems. That's our core and our business niche that we are trying to be best of. So then, to have someone like Microsoft to take care of all the infrastructure and not take and the, so the customers don't need to take care of that. We don't have to take care of that. So we have this middle area that are, do the best thing on that area. That was great. So that was one of the business reasons. The second one was you have to go to the suppliers. You have to go off-site. So you need to have somewhere, some way to take the information from the supplier on that physical premise and put it into your application. If the application is on Azure, that makes very simple because the same application you're accessing at your PC in your company is the same that you're accessing from the supplier. So it makes very good sense to move the application to Azure so people can use it no matter where they are geographically.
Right.
So those are more of the business reasons. On the technical side, the application was already multi-tenant, multilingual, had all these pieces that matched perfectly on the Azure web role, the blob, so it was not so hard. You don't have to create a new team to do the Azure stuff. It was just, okay, you have the application, you did it in this way, it's very easy technically to move it to Azure. And the other thing is that we are thinking on this application as you have to go and audit, it's perfectly good to make it as a Metro app for a tablet. So the idea is the audit will be a Metro application that you have your tablet PC, the Metro app will connect to Azure, and you do the audit there with the tablet PC so you can go outside, you take a picture. Everything is very interesting if you think in the future to have the IPP Metro app connected to the server, and then you have maybe a WinForm or WPF at the premises to analyze that information. So I think that we can, so those are another technical reason that made it very interesting to move to Azure. And also the idea is to, as IPP matures in Azure, to move the whole SPAC to Azure. A SPAC will take care of much more quality issues like non-conformities, the product line quality and all that stuff. And so the idea is going slow and learning, because when you learn from mistakes, it's much faster the way you develop the application.
So then speaking of then, as you were going through this process, what would you say was some of the obstacles that you had or some of the things that weren't as obvious when you were moving your architecture to Azure that, you know, you would point out to a developer to say, hey, as you're architecting your application, make sure you know this, this, and this beforehand because we learned it the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the configuration stuff was complicated, and that was one of the challenges that we had to cope with. The other thing was logging. Like, logging was hard. Like, for if, now it's much more mature. So when I speak about what were the challenges, sometimes you speak about something that is already solved. So, but for instance, to do nice tracing, we had to go through different versions of the SDK, and sometimes it didn't work, or it worked at the emulator, and it was totally different when you put it up.
Right.
So that's another thing, that don't think that when you have something working in your box, it will work exactly the same when you put it up.
Right.
Because sometimes you find, like, it's very important to test it when you put it in Azure and not trust just what you have it at the computer emulator. It does a great job, but sometimes there's some things that will not work exactly as they supposed to.
Yeah, well, I mean, an emulator will never replace the real environment.
Exactly,
right?
So. Exactly. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then from a training resources perspective, how did you get your knowledge about Azure?
MSDN. Like, actually, we try to buy books, but actually, you find that at this era, sometimes books are too late.
Yes, I find that as well.
So you get the book, and the information you are reading then is misleading, because you have the new SDK that will change some parameters. So the book is just, the good thing about the book is the introduction and the first chapter that talks about the architecture and the ideas. But when you get into the details, like, then the books are not more useful.
Right.
So then actually, like, finding stuff on the web and reading MSDN articles were the main sources of training, actually. So it's interesting that it evolved this way. But it's not that you can learn, like, looking at fragmented information from the web doesn't give you the whole picture about the architecture of Azure. I think that it's good to have some kind of key books to read about these introductory chapters, like Lotka's book on CSLA or the books about Azure, the first chapters. They speak a lot about how it works, and I think that's very important, you know. And sometimes if you go straight to developing, then you lose time, and then you don't know exactly why this is working this way. For instance, why the separation between web roles and worker roles? Why do you have table storage? How do you use it? Sometimes the why and the what is there at the beginning, and then the how you find it more in the internet.
So actually, I think that's a great piece of advice that you're giving there that most people don't actually consider, in that when it comes to Azure, when it comes to cloud computing actually in general, like you said, it's important to understand the what and the why before you skip to the how. And in talking to many developers will just go to, well, I need to store a file in somewhere, so I'm going to store it on the web role. But then they don't, because they didn't go through the introductory of what a web role is and statelessness and all that kind of stuff, you know, they end up finding out afterwards, hey, where did my file disappear after the VM recycled?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So that's actually great advice.
Yeah, that's an example of, like, sometimes time pressures makes a suboptimal solution. So sometimes spending a little bit more time on learning the background allows you to make more informed decisions on after. And I think that's a problem with a current situation. We are accustomed to read just a mail that is three lines and then make a decision. And in some big things like Azure, I think that reading three lines and making a decision about an application is not the best way. It's going to a suboptimal.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It was great advice, and looking forward to hearing more about how you guys progress further and then do more things with Azure.
Perfect. Thank you very much.